Hi, this is Fiona Big Mama's Pirate, and I'm here in Norway with
Florence Joel.
Hello, Florence.
Hello, Big Mama.
I'm good.
Not even you. True to myself, that's how I'm gonna stay. And if I choose to be in a band like true, what's that gotta do with you?
So, Florence, tell me about Florence Joel, because on Facebook and when I met you first, it was Florence Halfen.
Florence Joel is my middle name.
Joel.
Yes, Joel is my middle name.
Okay.
And I had played under different names before. You know, there was a Flo's Medicine Show, there was different things, there was a Madame Flo. And when I decided to really get to grips with my own songs, I was looking for a stage name. And I just read Ray Charles's biography. I'm a huge fan of Ray Charles. And his name was Ray Charles Robinson. So I thought that if it was good enough for Ray Charles, it was good enough for me. So Florence Joel Halfen became Florence Joel.
Very nice. So, and your current project is called Florence Joel and the Kiss of Fire.
Yes.
Now, is the Kiss of Fire the name of your band, or is that just the name of the project?
It's the name of my band.
Okay, so tell me more about your band.
Well, the name is after a Louis Armstrong song.
Okay.
It's called, there's a song called Kiss of Fire, which is a really kind of nice early
jazz
tango.
How does it go?
Because
why don't I know that one?
Because it's not really bluesy, and because it's kind of considered quite naff. But we call cigarettes Kiss of Fire. When it came out of the blue, we mentioned the song, Arthur started calling cigarettes Kiss of Fire, and we had a change of staff a few years ago. We had a gig in Rome.
Okay.
And we'd brought in this new guitarist, Hack Whitney, and we'd spent ages, you know, relearning our songs and rehearsing with him for the show in Rome. And when we got on stage and they were announcing us, I said, oh my God, what are we called now? And Arthur said, Kiss of Fire! So this is how we became Florence Joel's Kiss of Fire. I just heard him say it, you know, behind me, Kiss of Fire!
Great! So that's how the name came about.
That's how the name came about.
I love it, because it works. It works really, really well. So who's in your band with you?
Okay. Arthur Lager is on drums and percussions. Arthur's been in a lot of different bands before, from Gallon Drunk to The Scientist to Jake Vegas' Monkey's Uncle to all sorts of things. He's also a filmmaker.
Okay.
And he makes kind of really reverent, I guess, masterpieces on celluloid. They're short films. And it's a bit like if the Monty Pythons were 15-year-old and Arthur, I'm saying this as a compliment. He makes quite fantastic, amazing films. And so this is Arthur Lager. He also plays great percussions, and he loves Latin music, and you can hear it, which I also like.
Can.
And we've got Chris Campion, who is a singer-songwriter as well in his own time, on bass. And we've also got Hack Whitney on lead guitar. Hack also plays with the Flaming Stars, and yes.
So that's it. So how long has the Kiss of Fire been together?
2 years.
2 years.
The current lineup.
Right. So you're well used to each other's ways and how you play and.
We are now. Yes.
You're comfortable. So now I can tell by your accent you're not from London.
No.
So where are you from?
I'm from Paris, in France.
And why did you come to London?
I came for the music. I was a little rockabilly a long time ago. And
you're still kind of a little rockabilly.
I kind of dress like one, but look at my record collection.
It's huge. How many records do you have?
I don't know. I've got some in the bedroom and some under the stairs as well. And,
oh, wow.
I was a little rockabilly, and the scene in London was fantastic. And I'd gone on holiday, and there were all these clubs I wanted to go to. And I decided to. I'd started university and I wasn't ready for it at all. And so I decided to come to London for 6 months when I was 18. And I've never been back since.
Wow.
Yes.
So is London home now? Do you call yourself a Londoner? Because
I think so. I think I think I'm a French Londoner, I guess, if I was anything, yes.
Yeah.
I'm much more of a Londoner than a Parisian, definitely.
Okay. So what's your favourite, where's your favourite place in London?
As an area or just as a place?
Just any area or place.
Okay. I like the Wallace Collection because you can, it's almost like somebody's house and you could just hide in there and hopefully no one would find you if you felt that way.
So is that why you go to the Wallace Collection to hide?
No, but I've often thought that if I ever wanted to hide, that would be a good place. I like, oh God, there are so many quite fantastic places in London that I, God, let me think. I like Soho, but who doesn't? Although it's shrinking.
It is, isn't it?
It's quite dangerously. I like Kensington Gardens as well, and I like Hampstead Heath, and God.
You just love London.
I do, yes.
Good, that's good. We can live with that. So you mentioned Ray Charles as one of your influences.
Mm.
Anybody else that would be a huge influence on your music?
Little Jimmy Scott.
Yeah?
Little Jimmy Scott was a jazz singer, contemporary of Billie Holiday. And he's 86 years old now. And if you...
Did you meet him?
Oh, God. You did? Yes. Yes, he's him and his wife are good friends.
How did
mine.
That come about?
Oh, I'd come across Jimmy's records when I was 13. And I thought he was a little boy like Frankie Lyman or something.
Yeah.
You know, I didn't realise, you know, that was his voice. He had Kalman
syndrome. That's right,
he has
very
Kalman
unique,
syndrome.
Yeah.
So his voice never broken. And... when I started during the day, I reissued jazz records, and I got given Jimmy Scott's new record to release 10 years ago. It was a lot of modern pop, a lot of covers of pop songs, which he'd done in a jazz style. And I thought, oh my God, this is Jimmy Scott, and he's still around, and he came to London, and I was, you know, my job was to take him from interview to interview.
How lucky is that?
And he was the most beautiful spirit I'd ever met, and he had the best stories. You know, he'd tell me about Ray and Charles Mingus and Miles and Eartha Kitt and just everybody. But also, he had a very, very difficult life, and he was very wise. And I really appreciated the emotions in his songs. And he has a sense of timing, a bit like Billie Holiday's,
nice.
Where these people told stories, you know, now in jazz people just do acrobatics, vocal acrobatics.
Yeah.
And like, you know, jazz was very close to blues till then, and they told stories, so they'd let the chord change ring and speak the next word so it would have more meaning. When Jimmy sings, you almost feel confronted by the story. I've seen grown men weep. At Ronnie Scott's.
Really?
Yes, when he plays. But there's a... Yes, that's a huge influence, the way he...
He's a storyteller.
He's a storyteller, I think.
And that's what singers should be. They should be storytellers.
I agree. So are people like Billie Holiday. The only reason why I'm putting myself through all this is because I like to tell stories and write songs.
You did mention that you work... Sorry, what did you say you do during the day again?
I reissue jazz records.
That's right. So, and you also put... is it right that you put together compilations?
I do, yes.
So tell me about that process.
Oh, that's fun. I haven't done any for a while, actually. I did the Leopard Lounge compilations. Record companies don't really keep vaults of records, so you have to dig out into the records you already have, and they will have to be from the label and have some kind of coherence together. So the Leopard Lounge series were kind of loungy, jazz and blues you could, I guess, drink cocktails too. And
right.
You know, I did one called People Get Ready, which was off black protest songs from the 50s to the 70s. I did modal jazz, Latin, you know, all
right.
Sorts.
And you've DJed as well. Do you still DJ?
I don't have time now.
Okay. Too much going on. So your new CD has just been released.
Yes.
And you're working very hard and you've got some really good reviews. They're comparing you a little... A lot of it, the comparisons have been to Peggy Lee and Edith Piaf. How do you feel about that?
Do you know, I love Edith Piaf. I absolutely adore her. She's a great storyteller and she has a fantastic voice. But I don't think, apart from having curly hair and being French...
You can't see the...
I don't see how I sound like her.
No. Do you think it's because you're French?
I think it's because I'm French.
Right.
And Peggy Lee, I think it's because the way I sing is a little bit jazzy.
Yes, it certainly is. So that brings us... How would you describe the sound of your new CD, which is called For Joelle, Kiss of Fire?
Oh, God, it's a mixture of blues with gypsy jazz and a little bit of old-time rock and roll thrown in, I guess. I like blues in general terms from different places. You know, like Latin music is blues. If you dissect it, it's usually a 12-bar. You know, it has a resolution. I like gypsy blues. There's a rumba flamenca song I wrote called Gypsy Boy. I like, God, all sorts of music. There's a calypso song in it as well called Watermelon Gin, which... you'll be able to try in a few months' time.
Good.
And, God, let me... It encompasses a lot of influences. I listen to a lot of different music and hopefully create something new, which I'm not sure. Hack has quite a twangy guitar sound. Arthur's quite Latin in the way he plays.
No, when you listen to your music, you can certainly hear all the various different influences, but it's definitely done with your style, which... It's hard to do because there's a lot of different influences in there, and you can hear all of them, but it certainly does come through as your very own version of it,
or
combination of it. What would you say is your favourite song on the CD, or do you have one?
I'll Come Running.
Really?
Yes.
Why?
Oh, because it's because of the rhythm. Because God, it's the most humble song I've ever written.
See me anyway, doesn't mean that I don't care. If you hurt me, I'll be there, I'll come running. No matter what's been said and done, when your hopes and dreams are gone, if you tell anyone, I'll come running.
Do you have a particular songwriting process, or...?
I do. I start picking away at my guitar, and usually the tune comes first.
Right.
And then usually there's half a verse or something, and I just pick away at it until, you know, the story emerges. I rarely sit and think, oh, I must write a song about this, particularly. I spent a lot of time on it, and we had a big backlog of songs to work on, and we were late playing at, we were off to play at a festival in Hampstead, and whoever was driving us was delayed, and I showed the song to Chris, the bass player, and said, this is, you know, I've just written this, what do you think? And he said, this is going to the top of the pile.
Wow.
And you have to put a C in this, because this C will be the sweet chord, which worked.
Yeah.
And, we just pushed all the other songs back. And so it's a very collective thing as well. It's more work has gone on it, I think, than the other songs on the album.
So how do you decide if you've got such a... You seem to write quite prolifically.
Yes.
So if you've got such a backlog of songs, how do you decide what to put on your... Because you've got 10 songs on your CD.
Yes.
And two of them are covers.
Yes.
And very good covers, but they're obviously... If you've got so many of your own songs, how do you decide... How do you just choose the 8 that goes onto your CD?
Oh, God, there was one that didn't make it that we recorded in the studio. It just wasn't... I didn't want to have a filler on the first album. I thought it was better just to have 10 and to be pleased, you know, with them than to have 11 or 12 or 13. It takes time for them to be arranged by... They take time for to be arranged by all of us, and sometimes as well... God, not everything I write is pearls of wisdom and marvellous. You know, some of them just don't quite make it to where we, you know, to getting recorded, because I guess they may not be good enough. Or
so how long do you think, when, because this always fascinates me, obviously, the songwriting side of things as well, is if you get an idea for a song,
mm-hmm.
and so... Does it vary? Do sometimes your songs, you know that you have a good song within like a couple of days, or do you have like you have the melody or you have the tune, and then maybe weeks later you get the lyrics, and then it could be another
really
3 months.
It really depends. Some of them. Help You Down took me. I think I wrote it in a day. Be fast, be glad, for all while it lasts. Started as a tune, and I carried it with me for a long time, and that took a, you know, quite a long time. I explained the notion of stardust to a friend once, and I said, look, you know, some people have stardust, and you know, if you're lucky, you'll meet at least one, and you know, they have that special thing about them that just turns you, you know, just puts butterflies into your head and makes their presence truly magical. And you know, it's quite rare that you find them, and when and you should be glad that you know, when they're there, and if they go, then you should be glad you've met them. And so we kind of defined stardust that day, and I said I must write a song about this. And
so you're gigging quite a lot in London.
Yes.
Have you been back to Paris to do gigs, or is that something you'd like to do?
I haven't, actually. Somebody wanted to bring us, and I'm not quite sure what happened. I played in Lille last year, you know, at a beatnik ball.
Wow, how was that?
It was quite fantastic. We were in a lovely room. We had a sound man each.
A sound man each?
Yes, at soundcheck.
Oh my goodness, that's delicious.
I felt I'd arrived. You know, and they were really, the people who organised it were really lovely to us. They treated us really well. In France, you get state grants for, you know, art and music.
Yeah.
So, but it was kind of strange to be in front of a French audience, and quite. God, I hate to say this. I like speaking to the audience a lot. I spoke to them mostly in English, which was quite strange.
Okay, so why?
If no you're in France. Idea. I think they wanted me to speak to them in English. They didn't quite respond to me in French. Unless I've forgotten how to speak, and I'm now not...
I doubt it very much. So they were expecting an English band, was that it? So they didn't. Okay.
Yes.
So we're currently sitting in your flat with your cat on your knee. What's your cat's name?
Zaza.
Zaza. Is that the only cat you have?
No, I have another one called Behemoth. I love animals. If I had a big enough back garden, I'd have horses and dogs and probably a hedgehog and a tortoise.
You also said you'd have people out there, and I'm wondering, is that just to have a party, or would you actually have people to have functions out in your back garden?
I think I'd have a sound man in the little brick shed would become a rehearsal studio.
Really?
I'd have a sound man in it.
Okay. So they would be useful. They wouldn't just be socialising.
No.
Okay.
No.
So what are your plans for Florence Joelle and the Kiss of Fire? What would you like to see you doing in 5 years' time?
I'd like us to have done at least another album. I'd God, I would never want to, I don't think I'd want to achieve worldwide fame. I wouldn't really want people to recognise me in the street. But if I was, you know, if I was some kind of, God, eccentric, jazzy, bluesy songwriter that played at the South Bank once a year or something, I would be quite happy. What would I like in 5 years' time? Yes, just to have made at least one more album, definitely. And
speaking of that, when you actually produced your first album, how did that feel to get to that point?
God, I think the first time I went into the studio was just to put something on MySpace. That was my idea.
So now you've got a CD full of 10 songs. That must be a great feeling.
It's a great feeling. When we recorded it straight to tape, in an analogue studio, which meant we had to all be playing at the same time and, you know, doing it in takes like people used to. And you get a very warm sound from it, and you also get, you know, sometimes mistakes, and you have to decide which recording you keep that has got something you don't quite like. But I still prefer to record like this. And
I think you're right. There's a very warm sound to your CD, which is very charming and very interesting to listen to.
Thank you.
Yeah, it very much is. So we've gone to 5 years, and just another kind of, these are little different questions, because we've spoken about your music and your CD now, and how would you, when you're like 99,
I hope I get there. Yes.
If you get to 99 and you're still singing and you're still creating music and writing songs, how would you like people to remember you?
I'd like other women to listen to my lyrics. It sounds quite strange. Not just men, of course, as well, but I'd like people to, I don't know, to, God, I'm not saying I only speak pearls of wisdom, yes, but I'd like...
You'd like them to just listen to what you're saying?
Yes.
Cool, that's fine. And what's your favourite object or possession that you own?
In the world?
Yeah. You may not even have it now, but just, is there something that's kind of, you would choose among everything that you own, that's your favourite possession and why?
If the house was on fire, I'd probably take this guitar. I don't think possessions are that important, ultimately, if it makes sense.
Yeah, I think you'd probably talk what's most important to you, that your music making.
Yes, I think we're living very materialistic times, and it seems that people have to have things, and this is the only way they can gain happiness, you know, possession. I've written a song about the riots 2 weeks ago called The God of Things. And possession is the new salvation almost. It's kind of strange. No, I don't know. I don't think there's anything I...
Good. I'm fine. I'm happy with that answer.
Sorry.
No.
The guitar.
that works for me. And finally, we are the Pirate Pods.
Oh, yes.
So there is I'm hoping they're still doing this tradition. It's been a little while since I've done an interview. But the last time I did an interview, there is a tradition that you do your best impression of a pirate, please.
Oh, wow. Ahoy, I'll have all your jewels.
Thank you very much, Florence Joel.
True to myself, that's how I'm going to mistake you. What's that gonna do?